No, I didn't edit out our realistic comedy. Did you see that romantic comedy? Did you and Kristen have to go see that yet?
No, I watched Coraline instead. And it was fantastic.
It was a good, fun movie.
It was one of the better children's movies I have seen in probably...
It looks kind of dark, like it would have fit, like it's released...
Oh, it was dark.
It looks like its release date is just badly timed.
Pixar aside, it was probably the best children-geared film I've seen in, like, 10 years. Something like that. I don't know what was 10 years ago, but, you know, let's say, like, the last good Disney 2D animation, you know, something like that.
Cool. So it was a good one. Recommendations.
I'll talk about it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Look, I feel it's important because... it's a fable with a moral. It's like an Aesop's fable.
Yeah. It looks like it's a retelling of an old, like, you know, I wish that my
family... It's a Neil Gaiman novella. But so but he did it with a very, like, fable-esque thing. Like, it places a great deal of culpability on the main girl. Like you asked for this, that sort of thing, you know? You get what you pay for, that sort of thing. Like, don't whine to me with your liberalism. it was a very conservative family value entrenched thing. It really was. It was interesting to see from.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily an overtly political left or right kind of mentality thing.
Well, no, that's not the thing. The idea was that it's not a thing where you're the permissiveness of what people allow their kids to do and what they allow their kids to think and say and be exposed to at certain ages has everything to do with, and that's basically how you raise your kid.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just taking care of them and feeding them and clothing them. It's permissiveness.
Well, that's the real parental part. Yeah. Is those decisions you make.
Yeah. And this was basically one big long warning against permissiveness. And it was basically pro reining in your kid, sitting on your, you know, telling the kid to fend for themselves every now and then. Don't provide everything for them. Don't pay them all the attention they want. You know, you pick your battles sort of thing with a kid.
Interesting. A kid is not a toy or a trophy or a pet.
No, it wasn't like that. It was like your kid needs to learn sooner than later that life is not the world is not there to pander and entertain them, basically.
It doesn't revolve around them.
Not that it doesn't revolve around them, but that, you know, this girl is there complaining about the fact that her parents, who are they're both writers, and they're doing some, the interesting thing they do is they're making a seed catalog for gardens. So they're both writing that in separate rooms. Mm-hmm. They're both writing their different articles for it and stuff like that. And the girl never seems to get that the family's livelihood depends on them doing this. But she continually bothers them, you know. She has, like, the thing, like, oh, man, my parents are lame. It's so boring. I want people to pay attention to me. I want this. I want that. I want this. And then she goes into the other world. She gets all of it, plus more. All the attention's dumped on her. And she soon finds that it comes with a terrible price if she wants to stay there. And then when she tries to leave, the thing that wants to keep her there makes everything go crazy. It was just the design of it was amazing. It was just awesome. It was, the whole thing was production design, which is fantastic.
Is it a PG?
It's PG.
Is it going to not get an audience? How's it done?
It opened in, like, fourth. I mean, Nightmare didn't open well.
Yeah.
And Nightmare didn't play well till.
But Nightmare had that, like, Tim Burton like goth appeal that, like, older people will attract, like, an older audience, and this seems like it's like a little kid CG.
It's really not,
and that's the other thing.
I beg to differ because Nightmare is 100% Henry Selick's creation. Tim Burton wrote a poem, a one-page poem. I've read the book that Nightmare Before Christmas was in, this Jack Skellington thing.
Yeah,
it's a page. He was there for literally something like 20 minutes. Henry Selick wrote the thing. He directed it, obviously. He did the whole thing with it. He had completely adapted Coraline himself. This guy is his own thing. He did James and the Giant Peach. He did Monkey Bone. This is what he does. Okay. Yeah. It's 100% his, and I think it's always bothered him that the thing was called Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas, which even Tim Burton has said, like, I really didn't have anything to do with this, so it's kind of weird. I guess the,
What is it? Did they pour salad dressing on it or something?
No, it's just oil. Grease. he's even said, like, you know, the studio, Disney, demanded that...
You need that marketability.
They said, we're going to put your name on it. And he's like, all right, whatever.
Produced by...
Yeah, which I guess, I mean, he wasn't even involved. They said he came up to... Because I guess they shot most of it in, like, San Francisco.
Yeah.
He came up a couple times a year or something like that. That was it.
I always wonder how involved, like, the producers are on stuff. Like, you know, Steven Spielberg produces Sequest, DSV, and it's like, is that just him getting money? And, like, maybe he shows up at the beginning.
Like, when he produced Taken and stuff like that.
Uh-huh, yeah. Does it mean anything at all, you know? Is his creative energy being used in that in any way?
So anyway, with Coraline, the voice acting was impeccable, and especially, and I was very surprised by this because I don't like her at all, was Dakota Fanning, and I'm sure you'll talk about her soon since you're talking about Push.
Am I?
Yes, you are. The greatest thing was, they mentioned early on that her family has to move to this creepy, misty hill in this creepy valley. Because a car accident that happened, or they couldn't stay where they were. Her mom's in a neck brace, and they're just in this place to get away and finish the thing.
Weird and creepy, yeah.
So anyway, she says she's from Pontiac, Michigan. She tells this kid, and she has this amazing Michigan accent. I was like, oh man, she must be from Michigan. I look at him. She's from like Georgia or something like that, you know? So she just, like, she really is a fastidious actor. Like, she really...
Does the work, huh?
Does the work. She really does. She's not like Seth Rogen getting paid to do a voice in something, like in Monsters vs. Aliens or Kung Fu Panda.
Well, a lot of those actors are that way. A lot of those non-voice actors that get paid.
Well, I mean, Dakota Fanning is not a voice actor, but she obviously took this seriously. She was great, and the character was completely full, like a real human, selfish girl, you know? And the parents, I was surprised because I don't like Terry Hatcher, and she was the voice of the mom, and she was good. And John Hodgman was awesome as the voice of the dad. Like, the whole time I was like, this guy's voice is so, like, soothing, and I totally recognize that.
I love Hodgman.
It was John Hodgman, yeah.
Great.
And then there's the guy from They Might Be Giants sang when he sang, and it matched his voice perfectly.
Oh, there's a bunch of singing in it? It's one of those kids' movies with
one
a bunch
song.
Of singing? Oh,
okay. One song. Because in the other world, her dad is this inventor who, like, because her dad kind of, like, sing-song stuff to her in the real world. Like, he makes some crappy dinner, he puts it in front of her, and he rhymes some song about giving her crappy glute for dinner. And in the other world, this guy has invented this piano that plays this awesome, like, really fun song, and it's a song about her and how awesome she is and everything. And she's like, oh, this is great, you know?
Is that real?
Yeah, like, that's true. Yeah.
There's a song about how awesome
somebody
is.
Yeah.
That's great.
It was a great movie. It was really good. And the third act is very frightening.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was pretty creepy. And the greatest thing is, it's stop motion. It wasn't, like, there's a little bit of CGI in there, but the whole thing is stop motion.
Really? It is stop motion.
It's stop motion. It's 100%
stop
motion.
It looks CG.
It's not.
Weird.
It wasn't. It's all...
I know, that's what was crazy about it, is because, like,
No, you can see, like, there's this cat with that Keith David plays. And,
nice.
He's great, too.
We saw the trailer in 3D. In front of my bloody Valentine.
Right.
And I thought it was CG, and then, like, I went home and...
Yeah,
I was looking it up, and it was like,
the,
it's all...
The cat, like, when there's close-ups on the cat, awesome. You can see his hair is, like, moving, like, they're you know, when they touch him, they're moving his hair and stuff accidentally.
Oh,
it's awesome. It looks like a Wallace and Gromit thing.
Oh, interesting.
But better. Like, it was fantastic. It is by far...
Was it up for Best Animated this year? Well, will it be
next
year?
Being released this year.
Oh.
So, yeah. They say, I mean, I can't imagine why it wouldn't be. Pixar
going to have something to compete
Pixar
with?
Pixar has Up, and by the way, they're saying they've shown the first 45 minutes
That's
of it
boring
to
as fuck.
Audiences, and they're saying that it's, like, absolutely mind-blowingly brilliant. They say it's, like,
really?
I don't get it.
Yeah, they say it's really dark, too. They say, like, it's actually very dark and, like, sad.
Well, I mean, I can get that, but I think they might have just finally jumped a shark on their Pixar being
looks
dark
so
and
boring,
sad,
man.
Maybe.
There's stuff about, like, they say, like, the first half
about
is about
mortality.
Like infertility and stuff.
Infertility?
Yeah, like...
With an old guy? Like, what he...
Well,
know?
No, like it shows his past to start with, like, the first chunk of it is, and, like, this guy and his wife never had kids, and he walks around his house talking to his wife who's been dead for a long time.
It basically reminds me of Gran Torino.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what it is.
The old guy.
He kills a bunch of Koreans in it.
Yeah. Well, that little kid.
Hopefully, based on your review and the fact that it's real CG, stop motion. Yeah, I hope it deserves to win.
I don't know. It was great, though. It really was very good. Everything about it was great. Score, all of it.
Cool. Give it an A?
I give it an A.
Woo!
Great kids.
Coraline for you. Neil Gaiman, did he write the screenplay as well?
No, he wrote an... Selleck wrote it for the screen, directed. Mm-hmm. He was the... I thought it was interesting. They actually showed him in the credits as production designer also, which normally I don't think a director would bother putting
but
his
in this
there.
Case...
In this case, it was very important for something like that. Like, mm-hmm. This thing was his baby.
Did he do production design on, like, Nightmare?
Yeah,
and
right.
He probably done it on all of them, though. Yeah. That's probably his background. 100% he's probably a stop-motion animator that just... Mm-hmm.
His background is, yeah, he went to, like, Cal Arts.
Exactly, that makes sense.
He worked at Disney along back in the 70s, 80s, alongside Burton and all those guys. Yeah. And just happened to know some of them. And, yeah, Burton actually got the opportunity to make something with Disney at one point with Nightmare. They decided to do that. And he handpicked Selleck because Selleck was basically doing tons of stuff with stop motion and, like, experimental animation at the Cal Arts.
Very cool. Very good experimental animations.
You know, Ian's excited because while I'm talking about this stop motion subject, he's looking off, he's wandering, his eyes are wandering, he's
I'm not
scratching
good about
himself,
looking at people.
He's yawning, he's bedding down for the night. Yeah, this guy's, he's super interested in this subject.
No, I am interested in it. It sounds like a good story. I like Neil Gaiman's stuff for the most part. Some of the stuff, I haven't really read a lot of his stuff or anything. It seems like I saw Stardust, mm-hmm. or whatever, and it does seem like he kind of is faithful to those older fairy tales and magic and stuff
was
like that.
Was he Mirror Mask?
No, that was the Henson Company, right?
Yeah, but it was Neil Gaiman.
Yeah. Did you see it? Was it any good?
I didn't see it.
It looked
did you
like
see
it
Mirror Mask?
Really
didn't
cool.
Caitlin and Ryan rented it. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Fuck that shit, man.
I didn't just
to get our explicit tag, right?
Yeah. Do you still tag things explicit?
I just when you set it up on iTunes, you basically have no choice. It's either explicit or it's not. You either
put not. See what happens. No one listens anyway, right? No, go ahead.
Is it on?
Yeah.
We'll take
okay.
a break. We'll get
no,
back
no,
to
no,
it in
no,
a second.
No, no, no.
We can't.
We'll take the thing off and we'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I won't eat it.
No, you can eat it. It's fine. I mean, you're not going to be eating the foil.
Yeah, unless you can eat the foil jaws.